I was making sure I don't go over time. I remember being in a meeting in Gorgi, actually, and they'd invited all the speakers at Gorgi that had come to their homely hour, and they invited us to come and have a meal with them at Christmas time, or coming up for Christmas. And they had a speaker, and the speaker said in the middle of his talk, he said, "Brother, what time am I supposed to finish?" He says, "Well, if you're still speaking after 1:30, you'll be on your own because we'll all be away home." And that amused me a great deal. So thank you for giving out that notice. The main attraction is that General Sir Richard Dannett is the main speaker. And I think a lot of people have seen him on the news. He's quite often on television. And it will be a big event. We had General Dannett a couple of years ago, and the Faith Mission was quite full where we had this meeting. So if you're available and you would like to go to it, I think it will be a good meeting that many people can enjoy. And it's wonderful to hear a man of such rank speaking of having faith. And I'd like to add to that, that down the years, SAJRA have had many very high-ranking people involved. And one of them was General Sir Arthur Smith. And that general seemed to know the Queen quite well. And sometimes he went to pray with her. I'm told it was on a Tuesday afternoon when she was available. And I think there's a lot more, perhaps, going on in the Queen than people know. But it's not for me to say either, but just little things I've heard. And I remember reading once a little bit of paper about the Queen. And her father said, he was pointing to Holman Hunt's picture. And he said to her, he said, "That's the real Jesus." He said, "No, that's the real King, Jesus Christ." And I think that the Queen has had a lot of influence for Christian things. And when the years pass, you wonder what's going to happen in this nation of ours. Because I don't see these great men coming, and I don't see, even in royalty, perhaps anything like Her Majesty the Queen. But that's not for me. That's for God to deal with. And I must be careful about being too pessimistic. Perhaps at this stage, then, we'll turn to our Bibles and we'll read from Philippians chapter 4. Now, I have one or two favourite places, I'm sure you do as well. Now, one or two places in the Scriptures where it's like a tonic, where you pick it up and you read it and it does you good, and I'm hoping that's what it's going to do for you tonight. There's one or two places I could go to that does that for me. But this one is very well known, it's Philippians chapter 4. And we're not going to take time to read it all and speak about it all. And the main verses I want to think about, really, is verse 6 and 7. And we'll get there eventually. So, Philippians chapter 4, and let's begin at verse 2. "I beseech Euodias and Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, to help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with others of my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the Lord of peace shall be with you." Amen. May the Lord bless those readings from his word. Perhaps before I say anything else, I'd just like to say to you, 175 years of the work of SAJRA. It started with a Sergeant Rudd, who was in the Royal Artillery. And in those times, many soldiers did not read. They couldn't read. They were illiterate. And so he would read the scriptures to them. And they managed to arrange for a little room somewhere in Woolwich near the barracks. And then he put up a notice that he would give out Bibles to anyone who asked. It would be for New Testaments, I think. And he got into trouble. He was hauled up before the CO. And I can't remember exactly what the CO was going to do to him. But anyway, it got heard about by a high-ranking officer who was a Christian. And he sent a wagon load of Bibles down to Woolwich Barracks. That's where this chap Rigby was killed, by the way. How we need the gospel. How very much we do. And this 175 years, you know, they mark it in such a wonderful way because they had a special celebration in the Guards Chapel, which is by Buckingham Palace. And Her Majesty the Queen and the Duke of Edinburgh agreed to come. But alas, she took ill, if you may remember, it's just in March, and she had to cancel, and the Duke came on his own. But it was a wonderful occasion, and I'll come back to it in a minute. I want to tell you that it's not disappointing for me and Barbara so much as it was for the new people who've come into the work since, because they didn't get to see the Queen. But 25 years ago, we celebrated 150 years, and my wife and I were there. Now, I know you haven't got your binoculars on, and so I'm just going to hold that up. And there we are, talking to Her Majesty, the Queen. We went to that service 25 years ago, and there are other pictures in here of other people that I just thought you might be interested to know. Now, we look like scalded cats there. You know why? We're as nervous as anything. It's rather a frightening experience talking to the Queen, but she was very, very charming, and she asked my wife if she ever got sent away in a different direction to me, but she doesn't. And let me just show you this one. I know that you can't see it, but that was 25 years ago at the 150th. And you'll see that Army scripture readers wear uniform, but they're ex-soldiers. They're no longer in the Army. They're people that have been converted and have a message and share the gospel with soldiers and get posted around, and they do everything as if you were in the Army, but they're not in the Army. They're all civilian. And we have a charter with the Ministry of Defence. And then that charter, we have to wear uniform because we're going in and out of military establishments and so on. Well, that is until about 6 years ago, I think it was, when I retired. So I don't do that now. But as you heard in the notices, tomorrow it commences the tattoo. And every year when the tattoo's on, my wife and I go in and give a hand pouring out the teas and talking to the boys. And so we'll start that tomorrow. And if you would like to pray for us, perhaps that will help to remind you that there is an outreach to the tattoo, and has also told you people of all nationalities will be there. Now, a few years ago, we used to have the whole barracks full of soldiers, and we used to have this little tea room down below, and people used to come in and see us. Now, things have changed a great deal, and instead of living in the barracks, they're getting better accommodation. And they're sleeping in the Pollock Halls, which is the university establishment where they can get the rooms there. And when they're doing the dress rehearsals, sometimes they're even down on the other square. So it's getting very hard for contact, but we do what we can, and the Lord gives us contact. But I'm just wondering how much longer that outreach is going to happen. So just pray that it may not be the last one tomorrow and for this week that's ahead. But in the times before, we were there for a whole month, and it was a great outreach, and people got saved and met Gurkhas, and I will not go too much into the details because I'd be here forever. But the Chinese were there 1 year, and I remember one of the officers coming and asking me. He says, "What do Christians believe?" And so there we sat down together a whole Saturday afternoon, and we shared to them about the seven I Ams of John's Gospel. And that was really the whole of the afternoon explaining who Jesus is. You know, these things like, I am the bread of life and so on. Whosoever believeth in me shall never hunger, shall never thirst, and that kind of thing. So when he got to the resurrection, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He said, resurrection? And I tell you, these Chinese, they've got all the gadgets. He got this dictionary out, and it's an electronic thing, and he typed in his resurrection, and it came back to him in his own language, and he went, wow. Made an impression on him. But there were so many stories that one could tell about these sort of situations. In fact, I have told some stories here in time past. Let's look to the Bible then, before the time disappears. And did you notice that right away we see that there were two people and they'd fallen out with each other? It was, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. But you know, the apostle goes on to share something else. That although those two sisters had fallen out with each other, and that was rather sad, and we know it happens, and it happens today. But although these things happened, the Apostle Paul was able to say, their names are written in the Book of Life. In Revelation it says, in the Lamb's Book of Life. Their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I want to ask a question this evening before we go any further. And the question is just simply this. Is your name written in heaven? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? That's important, you know. You see, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you believe that he died for your sins, that he's died upon that cross and he was buried, and on the third day he rose again, and you believe that Jesus died for you and that he took the blame for your sins, the moment you believe that, and the moment you receive Jesus Christ into your life, is the moment when your name is written in heaven. You see, there are lots of people, and some of them are just religious. Some of them just got a habit. But some people have come to know the Saviour in a real way, and they talk to him every day. They talk to him before they go to work. They talk to him perhaps at the end of the day, perhaps talk to him at other times of the day. They talk to him, the Lord, whenever there's a problem, whenever there's difficulty that comes into their life. And the Apostle Paul knew that too, you see. When he wrote to the book of Philippians, it's a very cheerful letter that he wrote. We don't hear about people being rebuked, and we don't hear people being about their waywardness and the teachings of the scripture. But we do find this problem here. And we have to be careful that sometimes maybe we need to get things right with a fellow believer. So he started by saying that to them, and he mentioned this true yoke fellow, whoever he was, we're not too sure. And then it goes on to say in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Do you know, one of the problems with Christians is they've got long faces. I can remember I was brought up in Edinburgh, and they used to say, you've got a face like Leith Walk, a long face. Not looking too happy. Well, I don't think that we should be going around looking like a Cheshire cat. And you know, there are problems in life. There are things that happen to us that may disturb us in our spirit. But you see, whatever ever happens, it's wonderful to know that we have the Lord Jesus as our Saviour. And that can be an inner joy that keeps us going all the time. And Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. He says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And now there are two opinions on this verse. One is that the Lord is coming again very soon. And that's something to be joyful about, isn't it? Because although we see a lot of things wrong in the world, the King of Kings is coming. I said about those that were disappointed this year that didn't meet the Queen. And I was disappointed for them too. But what a wonderful service we had in the Guards Chapel. And Colonel Dobby, that I know, we preached there. He was with us in Berlin years ago. And his brother also was involved in that service. And the general was involved in that service. And it was a wonderful service. And I could say the Queen wasn't there. The Duke of Edinburgh was. But most of all, the King of Kings was there. The Lord Jesus Christ. It was such a wonderful service. It was a great day. And it was wonderful to know and to feel the presence of the Lord in our midst. So rejoice in the Lord, and I would say to you that it may be too that what that verse is saying is that Not only is the Lord coming soon, but he is beside you. That's another interpretation of this verse. That's not my idea. It's what I've read in commentary. That the Lord is at your elbow, as well. He's beside you. And everything you do that is wrong, he sees. And everything that you do that is right, he sees as well. So it's just something for you to think about. Now this is the favourite part to me. I'm encouraged at verse 6 and in verse 7. Note what it says. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This verse, verse 6, tells us what to do when we have problems. When you're troubled, what do I do with my troubles? He tells us, take everything to the Lord in prayer. That's what the hymn writer says, isn't it? Take everything to God in prayer. So, troubles come to everybody. Everybody knows about trouble. You could tell me about trouble. And I would understand if you told me that you were concerned about some things. But once again, may I remind you of this, that whatever trouble comes our way, the Lord is with you. He's beside you. And he's able to listen to your problems and he knows the way through. Do you remember that Jesus told the disciples to get into the boat and go to the other side of Lake Galilee? And so they did. And Jesus was in the hinder part of the vessel, asleep. And a great storm arose, and I'm told by many other commentators that this is a regular thing that happens from time to time. And the water began to come in. And they woke up Jesus and said, careth not that we perish? And you know, I can tell you something. The Bible tells me, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So we can cast our cares, whatever our worries are, we can cast them on him. And Jesus arose and they got up and they rebuked the wind and the sea. And there was a great calm. It was a great calm, it says. And you know, they were astonished. Absolutely astonished at this. They couldn't believe it. And they said, what manner of man is this? That even the wind and the waves obey him. What kind of a man is this? They couldn't understand what had happened. Jesus was teaching those disciples that he is the answer to every crisis. Yeah, he knows about our need. He knows about every one of our situations and how we are. So be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, with supplication, with thanksgiving. Notice the thanksgiving. We can be thankful even before we ask the Lord, because we know that he knows the way. He understands the situation better than we do. And he says, let your request be made known unto God. See, when we do that, and we do it believing, then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will be in our hearts. You know, that's a wonderful thing to happen. When you're in troubled times, when things are upsetting, I was joking with my wife and I said, just seen on the television about Oklahoma and see these tornadoes. You fancy moving to Oklahoma? No chance about that, is there? You see, you can go through to different places and your house could be blown away. Anything could happen. And your house would be up on fire. You're not going to be laughing then. You're not going to be walking about with a big smile on your face. But whatever happens to us, we're in the hands of the Lord. Do you know, even if they were going to take us out and execute us for our faith in the Lord Jesus, do you know what that means? It means you'll be out of this world and all its troubles and you'll be in heaven. And that's better. Because it's better to be with the Lord than it is in this troubled world. So, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, the peace of God guarding you, just like the Roman soldiers, they guarded Paul. You know, Paul had troubles, didn't he? The first trouble he had was that he was going to be up before Caesar, and he was going to have his head chopped off. But you know, the motto of Paul was this, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's in chapter 1. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Do you know, for some people to live, it's alcohol. And for some people to live, it's drugs. And for some people to live, it's all about money. And for some people to live, it's all about sex. And you know, all the things that I'm talking about are the things that cause the storms in life, the things that cause the troubles. And all these are the things that are breaking down society. So we have to be very careful. So, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. He goes on to talk about how you think. You know, some people, their minds are full of things that are not fruitful, that are not helpful at all. And he goes on and he gives us a list of things in verse 8, which I'll not go into. And then he says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard in me, see in me, and the God of peace shall keep you. And then verse 9, the God of peace shall keep you, the God of peace shall be with you, I beg your pardon. Let me tell you about someone in the Old Testament before I finish. In the Old Testament, there was a woman called Hannah, and her husband was Elkanah, and he had two wives. He had Peninnah, and he had Hannah. But you know, Hannah was barren. She never produced children. And in those days, and in that culture, it was a bad thing. People looked down on you if a woman couldn't have children. And she went to the temple, very downcast, very, very troubled, and she prayed to God about it. She prayed so earnestly. She prayed, laid hold upon God. So much so that the high priest, when he saw her, Eli, thought she was drunk, accused her of being drinking. And she explained to him that she had been praying and asking God for his help. She knew where to go with her troubles. She knew what to do about them. And you know, after that she did that, she went home and she was comforted and she ate because she wasn't eating. And she told God, she made a vow that if God gave her a son, she would bring him back to the temple to serve him for the rest of his life. Now I want you to think about that. That is something, isn't it? That she would give that son back to God if he gave it a son. That was her prayer. What a vow. My daughter is a grown woman. She's getting into her 40s now. But you know, when she was a wee girl, we bought her a pram and a dolly. And it was quite some dolly, you know, it was quite a big dolly and this pram. And she would go along and she would, in her little pretend world, this was her baby, see? And she was going through all of this as if it was real. And you know what dads are like? Dads are big teases. And at the church in the garrison, they were having a toy Sunday where the children could bring a toy that they didn't want anymore and they could give it to some people that don't have such nice things. So I said to Esther, I said, what would you like to give from your toys for the children that don't have any? I said, maybe you could give your dolly. She went mad with me, screamed the place down. I thought, oh, sorry, open my mouth. But you see, this was only a dolly, but this is no dolly that Hannah gave back to the Lord. Do you know that that baby that she had was called Samuel, asked of the Lord. And Samuel became the greatest of all the judges that there had ever been. He was the greatest. When Israel was in trouble, he prayed. When Israel was going through difficult times, he prayed. And you know, none of his words fell to the ground. We need a man like that in Britain today, don't we? We need people like that in Britain. And what a great leader he was for the Jewish people. But here, the story's not finished. Yes, she gave that boy, she gave him to the Lord, and he served the Lord for the rest of his life. But you know, God gave her 3 more sons and 2 daughters. You see, because she was faithful, God was faithful to her. So that's why this is one of my favorite portions. That's why I love this particular portion where it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, with supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So that's what to do. And then it says, what happened to Hannah? The peace of God, which passes understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's the way to go. So if you've got a problem today, if you've got some kind of trouble, bring it to the Lord in prayer. Trouble will come to Christian, trouble will come to unbeliever. It doesn't matter. We all face our troubles. But you're not on your own. You're not alone when the Lord is with you. And I've written a wee verse down here on the back for what it's like for the wicked, the people that don't bother about God, people who don't trust Him. It says this: but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith our God, to the wicked. Isaiah 59:20-21. There's no peace for the wicked. Have you noticed the troubled world you live in? Have you seen the situations that people who ignore God, that's our trouble. They've turned their back upon God. They don't want to know. They don't want to know His way. They want to know their own way. And their own way is the way that leads to a lost eternity. But we don't have to go to a lost eternity, because God loves us. And God sent His Son into the world to die for us. And that's what Calvary is all about. You see, if you can think of some of the things you're ashamed of and you wouldn't like to tell anybody about, when Jesus died on that cross, if you confess your sins, it got laid on Him and you go free. Isn't that a wonderful love? That's wonderful indeed. May that be true of us here tonight, that we'd be trusting in Him and looking to the Lord for His forgiveness. Otherwise, we become like them that are outside, and when there is trouble, we don't know where to go. I used to tell the soldiers sometimes, you may not trust in God, but when you're in trouble, you're on your own. When I'm in trouble, the Lord's with me, and the Lord helps me. And I could tell you testimonies of how God has helped me in my Christian life, and I went through times of difficulties, and I remember once being so troubled, and I was going along the road, and must have looked like really worried. And then in the morning we were reading from Psalm 51, my wife and I. And as we read, it said, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. It was a time when King David went astray. But he said, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. And I said, thank you, Lord. It woke me up and I realized I'd lost my joy. Sometimes the troubles of life can cause us to lose our joy. And if a friend that knows the Lord departs this life and goes into eternity, they've gone to be with the Lord. If an unbeliever dies in this sin, that's a more serious thing. So may God help us to trust Him. Are you trusting Jesus as your Saviour tonight? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Lord? Have you trusted in Him for your forgiveness and all of the things that we just mentioned? Well, if you have, you're on your way to heaven one day. And remember, none of us can boast of tomorrow, no matter how young or how old we are. But none of us can boast of tomorrow. And if we know the Lord, He can take care of every situation. I just finish now and say to you, if I'll be at the back there, and if anybody needs a tract or something to read, speak to me about it. If there's anything that we've said this evening you'd like to ask me about, please do that. And I'll hand over again to our chairman. Is that right? Or did you want me to finish? Well, I'll close in prayer now.